This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Good morning, folks. We are just flying through February. It's February 21st. This is the beginning of the first big weekend, as we always refer to it, in Mardi Gras, and it's getting underway this evening. Family Gras starts out in Jefferson Parish. So many things to go to. A lot of open houses for a lot of the crews that are coming up next week. In fact, we will be visiting, same with Orpheus. We ride in Orpheus on Lundy Gras. Been doing that for a number of years. Looking forward to it, finalizing all of our beads and everything else that we have and trying to pull it all together and head on down and have a great time. Hope to see you guys out on the parade route. If I see you, say hello. Love to chat with folks out there. Always enjoy that. We've got a great show lined up for you today. You know, we got some chilly weather here, so we're going to visit with Chief Brian Adams, Louisiana State Fire Marshal, talk about home heating safety and smoke alarms, why they are important. And at 12:30, we'll visit with Arthur Hardy. We'll get an update as to the parades this weekend. What can we expect? And at the beginning of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with Ryan Bourne, the R. Evan Scharf Chair for Public Understanding of Economics, Center for Economic Studies at the Cato Institute. He authored a piece entitled Memo to Doge, Smarter Tech Alone Won't Deliver Efficiency. Very well done. We'll dig deep. We'll talk about that. Joe Geriso joins us at 11:30, New Orleans City Council Member District A, some community meetings addressing potential changes for West End and Lakeview. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about some of the other issues that the city is facing. Joe sits at the head of the budget committee. Had a very interesting meeting this week. Last week, the city officials said, we're going broke. This week, seems as though they couldn't provide the evidence. They didn't have the receipts. What a shame. It's interesting. What's going on? You know, what got them into this predicament as to this agreement with the Orleans Parish School Board is that they couldn't account for their numbers either. mean, this is becoming a comedy of errors. It's going to be interesting to see where this plays out. Tim Temple, the Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, joins us coming out at 11 o'clock. We'll get an update on Fortified Roof Grant Round and his plans for the upcoming session. And at 10:30, Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana, we're going to talk about a number of things that he's involved in. So we got a slate chock full today, a lot of great information coming your way. I wanted to talk real briefly about Israel, this transfer of abductees from Hamas with prisoners from Israel. If we really believe that this is going to get to a place, a plateau, that is going to provide some sense of stability and security moving forward, after the three-ring circus that was conducted this last week with Hamas in releasing babies that were dead and parading them in their coffins around Gaza before the release on Thursday, and then only to find out what was presumed to be the mother's body. There were four bodies given over, that the mother's body was included, to find out that it wasn't, although they were told that they were. If we believe that there's any moral compass that exists with the leadership in Gaza, Hamas, we are sadly mistaken. There is no way we can connect any dots to get to the point that this is actually gonna work. Allegedly, the Palestinians are fighting for their lives. We hear this all the time. They don't know where to go, where to turn, what to do. They continue to be represented by a horrific group of people that don't give a damn about anybody. And we believe that rebuilding this stretch of land is going to make it all better after spending trillions of dollars in order to do so. And that repopulating it with the same population is going to make sense. It's going to heal all wounds. We're going to get along. Everything's going to be okay. Haven't we tried this before? How many more times do we have to try it again? And do we really believe that this is going to be a long-standing solution? Of course not. We know better. Somebody's going to have to step up and talk about what the realities of this are. Their conduct is unacceptable. We're trying to reach a conclusion here. We're trying to maintain some peace here. And they're making a mockery of the process. They're picking the crap up off the ground and wiping it in the Israelis' faces, and everybody thinks, not everyone, but a lot of people believe, that the Israelis should stand there and take it. Would you? If they delivered your dead children to you? And the thought, the father survived. And the thought that the mother, the remains of the mother, were included, only to find out, no? Really? And then Hamas claims that it's a mistake. How much horror, how much terror, how much pain should one have to put up with? There have been a number of ultimatums given by President Trump. Let's see what the reaction is going to be. This all happened on Thursday. Today's Friday. There's another transfer, I believe, scheduled for Saturday. Everyone's waiting with bated breath to see how Hamas is going to remedy this screw-up, which I think is intentional. I don't think it was a screw-up at all. I think they're playing with the world at the present time. In this rhetoric about making Gaza a Riviera or this or that or any, none of that is actually happening. It's going to basically come down to what it was before, I think, in the end. The complete and total annihilation of Hamas. Nothing more, nothing less. And staying the course and understanding until they are completely rooted out in the short term. Kind of the same way most people deal with gangs. You put pressure on them each and every day till they cannot stand it anymore. And they have to leave. Or they're killed. But this is not going in a positive fashion. Not now, not ever. Netanyahu vows to avenge their actions. He's fighting for his political life in Israel, and I don't know that he can deliver on what he's actually saying. Especially while the pressure mounts that they continue to bring, try to bring back as many of the hostages back. We have no proof of life. We're not certain about the number. I mean, we're negotiating against an unknown. No one can compel Hamas to do the appropriate thing here. And of course, when they get called out for their horrific behavior, it's the Israelis' fault. It's the Israelis' fault that they paraded the bodies of these two children around Khan Yunis, Gazan City, before they handed them over to the Red Cross. People in the streets screaming in celebration. That's Israel's fault. Do we see the pattern here? Have we seen this pattern before? Do we really believe that it's going to change? The fact that we're engaged in this transfer right now, they view this as a win. They continue to stir up the emotions of the Palestinians. They can continue to talk the rhetoric about none of them will be happy until they eliminate Jews. All of them. Every single last one of them. It's absolutely amazing that we continue to believe that we are going to be able to coexist in that country in the short term, midterm, or long term. I just don't see it. Let's pivot to something local here. A couple of things going on that are really problematic. And I think goes to this conversation that I had with Ron Fauché the other day about citizens' reaction to the governance in the city of New Orleans. And we are hoping and hoping and hoping that we're able to keep the momentum that we were able to garner before the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl. But what we're finding is that almost everywhere you look, you're finding significant issues on execution, on follow-through, on setting an appropriate mission and vision, appropriate milestones, and trying to achieve same. You have to work hard at it every day. WWL-TV released this report on the permitting crisis. How long has this been going on? How long will it continue to go on? The article says it's been 5 years since, obviously, the tragic situation that occurred with the collapse of the Hard Rock Hotel. But what we're finding is there's still an incredible backlog. Thousands of building permits backlog 6 months or more waiting for the city to grant certificates of completion or occupancy. The money's been spent. They've done the work. They're waiting for the certificate of occupancy to occur. You cannot pull yourself out of the economic doldrums that we find ourselves in this city if you cannot get the permits department to zing and to minimize that wait to less than 10 days. We're at 6 months. There is no way, no how, that we can create economic development, lure additional people here with the willingness to spend their money with an incompetent safety and permits office. Who is minding the ship? Who's minding the ship? Why is this not changed? The leader of this organization was asked, person with the last name of Jackson, Tammy Jackson, who's been a director of permitting office since 2020, implemented a new policy that took effect February 10th to direct four building inspectors to rotate taking full days of on desk duty just to double check the third party inspection reports. How long have we been developing this backlog? Do we believe that this backlog just happened overnight? The Safety and Permits Office receives 2,000 to 3,000 permit applications every month. Only one quarter of permits had received a certificate of completion after 6 months. Now we have a half-hearted comment given to the media. Oh, well, we've implemented something. And then, as it relates to some kind of leaked video or audio, we find out that what's been implemented may not be in compliance with the revised statutes. Wow. How can the leader of an office talk about a policy, make a change this late in the game? You've been there since 2022, at least two, if not almost 3 years now. What do we do to change in the interim? What are the daily checks that we're doing? What are the weekly checks? What are the monthly checks? Have we created charting where we understand where we are? What needs to be done? Who's assigned to what? Who's tasked with what? How many inspections a day can be completed? How much preliminary work can be done by non-inspectors to make sure that all they need to do is pick up a file and go out there and actually conduct the inspection? How many works and processes exist in a very inefficient system? How many can be streamlined, and how can we move forward? Somebody should be questioning this individual as to all of these things. This is not rocket science. This is about process and execution. We should not be in this position. If we are going to succeed in moving from a third-tier city to a second-tier city, it's going to take more than executing for the Super Bowl. Plain and simple. It's amazing to me how anyone could sit by and let this happen. Maybe this is an opportunity for the business community to step up and see if they can't do something. See if they can't create a task force to get this done. See if they can't bring some oomph to these processes, because we have a lot of companies here that are all about processes, right? Manufacturing this, that, and otherwise. It's all this is about creating the timeline, staying true to it, understanding the importance. 6 months waiting for a certificate of completion? It's a joke. Even one of the inspectors said, this process is so bad, he's building a house, he doesn't even want to go through the process. It's not getting better. And speaking of process, the Inspector General, Edward Michel, just issued a letter to Ann Kirkpatrick. This is not her creation. This is something that has been going on for years, where the NOPD has received a substantial amount of money, grant dollars, in order to make them LIBOR compliant, Louisiana Incident-Based Reporting System. It's a mandate that's been out there. It's a subset of NIBRS. It's a national incident-based reporting system that's been mandated by the FBI. You hear us talk about FBI, you see our crime reporting, unified crime reports. The difference in the two is that UCR is a hierarchy. If you have a murder and an armed robbery, the murder is a more severe crime than the armed robbery. The only crime that counts in UCR is the murder. The armed robbery falls out. Under incident-based reporting, it's just the opposite. Both are reported as part of crime stats. It gives you a truer picture of the type and the frequency of crimes that are occurring within one's jurisdiction. There have been delays. There have been the deadlines have been moved back and the like and everything else. But again, to this day, they have not been able to successfully transition over to LIBRS. And as a result, now there's friction between the LCLE and NOPD. And I mean friction in a figurative sense, that because they're not compliant and there are things that should happen to them for not being fully compliant. Some of the members believe that they have done that, which means they're not eligible to receive other grants. And others have said on the board that, no, I think they are getting grants. And it turns out they are, to the best that the OIG has been able to determine. But they're not going to allow this to go on forever. We have to resolve it. And again, one of the situations that everyone agreed to that was involved is that leadership changes at NOPD, conflicting priorities, and insufficient IT staff contributed to the difficulty in becoming LIBRS certified. Sound familiar to safety and permits? It's the cornerstone of managing. Setting priorities. Understanding the downstream implications of your inaction or inefficient action. These are things that got to get done. There are departments every bit as large as that department that are LIBRS compliant. There's a lot of excuses being thrown about. I'm not here saying that this is easy, because it's not. But it requires attention. It requires focus. And you begin to see this appear. We've seen this appear over and over and over again over the years. The entire city organization has to get better, has to execute. We're arguing now over whether or not we have money. Really? There was a meeting this week. Joe Geruso is going to be joining us at 11:30. I'll ask him about it. Last week, they said they're going broke. They can't make the $20 million payment to OPSO, the Orleans Parish School Board, OPSB, because they're going broke. They have a meeting this week. They can't bring the receipts that they're going broke. What the hell's going on? You should be having monthly reports as to whether or not you're hitting your budget or not. And if you're not getting these reports, then we have yet a bigger problem, because you're not appropriately tracking revenues and expenditures of your organization. Maybe there's another opportunity for the private sector to get involved to clean this mess up, because it is evident to me that they do not have the wherewithal to do it. We keep asking, they keep trying, and we never get anywhere. Unless this whole exercise was contrived by the Cantrell administration. And if it was, shame, shame, shame on them. I'm not sure which one would be a worse outcome. To find out whether or not they're just incompetent, or, in fact, that they're lying. One hell of a predicament to be in. What a shame. Such a beautiful place. Such a beautiful culture. Such a wonderful society. We are the envy of many. And we could be the envy of even more. Goes back to what I've said all along. We succeed in spite of ourselves. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Newell. I'm a little hoarse today.
There's a lot of folks that obviously, you know, 80 degrees one day, 30 degrees the next. I mean, it just never gives up. We're trying to get a little bit of rest, and you got all these other challenges. And I know you got a busy schedule coming up as well. There's a lot going on. I've heard this from a lot of folks, how excited you are about the lineup in Bacchus, where this year they are recognizing the festivals. And someone told me, I think they said you were viewing the floats the other day. Is that true?
Yeah. We went to the open house, and I want to thank Bacchus, their leadership, and you know, for years we've been trying to get a crew that gets national attention to recognize the fairs and festivals. Those people work year round at no pay to put on the great 400 fairs and festivals all over the state that we attract people from all over the world, and to have the premier parade Bacchus highlight 20 plus of those festivals. There's going to be a float with the queens from those festivals riding. I'll be riding behind Shaquille O'Neal. I hope I'm not too close to him where he overshadows me. But a great opportunity to highlight all the great fairs and festivals all over Louisiana.
And people don't realize the breadth and depth of those festivals, right? I mean, we have one for every living creature, every fruit, every vegetable, everything that's out there. And I think every year there's additional ones.
You know, I keep saying before I die, Newell, I'm going to go to them all. And every year they keep adding some. You know, when they had the Fried Chicken Festival a few years ago, I'm like, that'll never go in New Orleans. Now people come from all over the world to you know, try and even compete for the best fried chicken there in New Orleans. It's become a really big, successful festival. We like to tell people if you can eat it, drink it, shoot it, dance to it, hell, we name a festival after it.
Absolutely. And you were saying that the queens of the festivals will be on their own float as well.
They will have one float that all the queens will ride together, giving them an opportunity to be in an incredible parade. And those queens have been such great ambassadors for Louisiana. I know this parade, you know, to win that crown, they've got to know a lot about their community, about the festival, the history and culture. of their region, and to have them as ambassadors for Louisiana spreading that as they did that year in California at the Rose Parade, it gives us an opportunity for them to get an opportunity to ride in a major parade as well.
Let's pivot real quick because we have a number of topics to talk about. Children's Hospital, the Manning family is behind that endeavor now. That's a great partnership. Had the opportunity to talk to Archie Manning the other day, but you guys also participated in a presentation to the hospital.
Yeah, I tell you, what a great family and ambassadors for Louisiana. I can remember way back when I was in the catering business, I used to donate catering to Archie Manning's golf tournament way back when. And he has given back over and over and over his family to so many great charities and events in Louisiana. Just incredible what they do with that camp down in Thibodaux every year. But to be able to put their name on a hospital that will live on for generations is just a great thing to honor a great family that's given back so much to Louisiana.
We'll pivot again. A lot going on. You have travel reporters from India riding on a float this year?
Yeah, we put a float in August every year, and we try to bring in travel writers that will come experience Mardi Gras from on a float and write about their experience, and it's been wildly successful. We've done this the last several years. They get a way to see Mardi Gras from on the float, an experience that most people don't get. And it's been really successful at getting people excited about coming to Mardi Gras. And there's no better way than to have them experience and write about it back home. So it's going to be pretty – usually these writers are from all over the country. But we started bringing in international writers as we want to lure more and more foreign visitors to Louisiana. In India, where we got a federal grant to go this year to a new market, is the second largest tourism traveler from a foreign country now to America. So it's a great opportunity for us to tap into that market.
That's I don't think many people would believe that it would be India, right?
Yeah, it's just the young people there with computers, technology. They're starting to make money. And they want to travel, and they want to come to America. So we learned so much on our trip over there. We've got a great partnership with a group over there that is promoting Louisiana, and we're already seeing results from that trip.
Yep. You guys are participating, or there's a connection with Family Gras. Timothy Wayne, I think, is performing. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Timothy Wayne, LSU student. I saw him perform at the CMA Fest out there when we went out to celebrate Laney Wilson and promote tourism. And he got up on stage and talked about LSU and Louisiana and his love for this state. And when he came off the stage, I went up to him and said, "How would you like to represent us in the Rose Parade?" And I think his mom thought I was a little crazy. She didn't know who I was. But he just is such a great ambassador. He's got great music. He's Tim McGraw's nephew. And it's great to see him get an opportunity to share his music with all Louisiana and all over the world. So it's great that he's going to be at Family Gras. The local people get to see him. He's really an up-and-coming star. And hopefully he'll make it big like Laney Wilson did. We've got a good track record with people we put on the Rose Parade float. So hopefully that will help him get some national attention. He's just a bright, young, energetic, passionate kid that is a great singer.
Absolutely. Let's get an update. I saw a list of folks that are participating with Mardi Gras cleanup and your office involved. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about getting Louisiana cleaned up. The new head of DOTD and his team are passionate about cleaning up Louisiana, something we've never had before. They put out a contract for the first time ever to clean up all the roads in and out of New Orleans and in and out of the state that would have traveled and to the airports every day during Super Bowl and the day after Super Bowl. And our hope is that people noticed, the legislative noticed, and this year we can get some funding to make that happen statewide and keep the roads cleaned. We're also working with them to get local governments enough money to cut the grass and clean the local parishes on a local level for the state roads. They can do it better, cheaper than a contractor statewide that they're not able to police. And so we can really make an impact on cleaning up and keeping our state clean. But I got to tell you, Wildlife and Fisheries, DEQ, have really got on board with cleaning up Louisiana. We're seeing major progress. We put a ton of cameras out, and I can't believe some of the blatant littering. One guy backs up to a canal, takes his two children out the pickup truck, and unloads six bags of garbage in the canal. Brings his kids out there. Now, that guy got a ticket because we have the cameras catching them in real time, and we're going to continue to do that. The hotline now is active. You can report littering, and if you get a ticket for littering or you pick up litter for the day, you're 80% less likely to litter again. So we're on a mission to stamp out littering in Louisiana. We've made a lot of progress over the last 2 years. We've had over 750 groups clean up during Love the Boot Week. For the first time ever the last 2 years, all 64 parishes had teams out there cleaning up. This year, we're shooting for 1,000 groups during Love the Boot Week. So hopefully we'll make continue to grow that with everybody getting involved in cleaning up our state.
And that week is in April, but registration is open now. Where do they go to register?
Love the boot week, love the boot.org. You can go to that website and register now. They'll send you some cleanup kits out, and we'll get Louisiana cleaned up. It's we've made a lot of great progress. You can go to keeplouisianabeautiful.org to learn about all the programs we have throughout the year, from educating our kids to Clean Biz, where you put garbage cans back in the parking lot and empty them. But we got to tackle this thing from every level and keep our foot on the gas if we're going to clean up the state.
Absolutely. Take care of that voice, and we'll see you on the parade route, I'm certain.
Thank you, my friend. Have a good day.
Alrighty, folks, that's Billy Nungesser, Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana. We will be right back, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Let's go to Robert on line one. Robert, what say you?
Hey, you know, thanks for letting me call in. Just for responding to Billy Nungesser with the trash in Louisiana and so on, I have my job takes me along Highway 90 into Houma Thibodaux area a couple days a week. And one thing is the dumps along the way with the garbage trucks, not the trash trucks, but the containers, which they do have a curtain over them. But the garbage trucks traveling at the speed they travel at tend to have blowouts or trash blow out the back of the truck, garbage and stuff. So you see the litter along the highway, which is also a thoroughfare for tourists making their way into the Cajun country and so on. Anyway, I've always thought that it would be a good idea that they would have to put a screen or a skirt of some sort along the back traveling that route to contain the trash from blowing out the back of the trucks. In any case, it's something I see, travel weekly and notice it, and it would be an easy fix, of course, you know, at its expense, but something that would curb the trash along Highway 90.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's something that we should consider. I actually think we ought to, and I think there is a hotline. I'm going to have to double-check with Billy on that. Take a picture of the back of the truck with some identifying number or otherwise, or a video, the trash coming out of the back, you know, and let's deal with it that way. I mean, it's bad enough we got people intentionally throwing it, and then we've got people whose job is to remove the garbage for us. They're dumping it, you know, in a haphazard way back on the highways. I recently traveled that stretch of highway, Robert, that you're just talking about. I saw exactly the same thing. I saw trash all over the side of the roadway. Yeah. Saw trash all over the side of the roadway. And I was like, you know, I remember coming down these streets 20, 30 years ago and never seeing any garbage. It makes you wonder what's changed, right? What's going on? Thank you so much for the call. Got to get to a break. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. When we return after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Tim Temple, the insurance commissioner for Louisiana, and Joe Geruso.